his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife. And under the law of Moses, if a man or a woman broke that vow and were unfaithful in their marriage vows, they were stoned to death. And after death, then, the spouse was free to marry another. Well, in the spiritual kingdom, we don't stone people to death for that now, but that vow is broken and they become dead. That spouse, if that union is broken, if one commits infidelity, then they are dead to that union. And it was for that cause that God made them male and female, that they might come together and be one. And if they break that, then they are dead to it. And that's the only grounds for divorce. But we see that there are men and preachers willing to go on and marry and remarry people when that has been broken. And so then that causes a division among brethren and sisters. And so many, many, many things. We are to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Now, if we would in meekness and humility discuss and search out these things and not try to lord it over one another, then we would come to an agreement in that. When there's strife and envy, that is from beneath. It's devilish. Anything that would destroy the teachings or the doctrines of our Lord, which is teaching, that would be contrary to it, does not come from God, because that is confusion. So it's coming from another source. And that's why it says, try the spirits and see whether they be of God or not. For there are many spirits gone out into the world, and they're teaching any and everything that you can think of. And so then the apostle is telling us to strive and to walk worthy, to be humble and meek, and not to just jump up and embrace everything and anything, but to be in meekness and humility, follow the word of God and to them that follow the Lord, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And if the Spirit is contrary to the flesh, then there's going to be some opposition there, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, we're going to have to endeavor. We're going to have to strive to fight the good fight of faith. And you just, that's going to take some effort, in other words. And if need be, the Apostle Paul says in another place, to suffer wrong. In other words, if we all being human and in this human condition, any of us and all of us at times will flare up and say something we should not, or act in a way that we should not, that might offend somebody. And so knowing that we can do that when somebody does it to us, then we ought to strive to be calm and to bear the wrong done us, if need be, that we until we can gain back our brother or sister, and not just fly right back at them, but in the Spirit, endeavor to follow the Spirit, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and in the bonds of peace. That would be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, because the Spirit will teach you the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and righteousness, long-suffering and meekness and these things. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the works of the flesh is just opposite from that. And so then there's a struggle there. And the flesh is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit to the flesh. And so there's a warfare there. And there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And so the Lord is just one Lord, and He's Lord. He's a King of saints. He's the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, and the King of saints. There's just one Lord. And He says, you call me Lord and Master, and rightly so. And if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And He gave us an example in that. And so then he says, you ought to do that. You ought to do what, like he done. When I went to school there and working in arithmetic, the teacher would put an example on the board. And I look in my book then, it said, work problem so and so. I'd look at that example, or it would be one in the book. And I follow the example, and that way I'd be able to work out the problem. And so the Lord said, I've washed your feet, and I have given you an example. And if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet. And I heard a doctor of the law trying to spiritualize that, and he made the awfulest mess out of it you ever heard in your life, trying to say that that was just representing humility. And that it didn't really mean to wash one another's feet, but it said he girded himself with a towel and put water in a basin and washed their feet. And if he did that, it said we ought to do that. And I think we should. And so, and he said, there is one Lord, and the Lord is, he said to be the head of the church, and he's our husband. And he's our lawful husband, and we are said to be betrothed to him. We're waiting for the marriage supper. One day we're going to have a marriage supper, but now we are betrothed to him and referred to as the bride of Christ. And because what the Lord, one whom the Lord has betrothed, why, he'll marry. They'll not be called off. And it says, and one faith and one baptism. Faith, then, is the fruit of the Spirit. It is something that every member of the body has. And when Christ, we said there, I think it's right in here, he says that he ascended up into heaven. He led captivity captive. And say, we're captive of Satan. We're captive to sin. We are the prisoners of sin. And we are hopelessly and helplessly the prisoners of sin. And we're under the curse of the law. And there is no way that we have power to deliver ourselves. And the Lord, speaking about that condition, he says, the Ethiopian cannot change his skin, neither can the leopard change his spots. Neither can you who are accustomed to doing evil turn and do good. And so, because of our sinful condition, we are captive. We are prisoners in that sense. And there is no such thing, when you're talking about that, as free will. And men say that you have free will to whether to accept the Lord or not accept the Lord, or to become a child of God, is the way they're meaning it in most instances. You have the free will to decide whether to come to church today or not. You have free will as to whether to try to be kind to your spouse or not. And you can exercise a certain amount of choice in the things you do daily. But you cannot decide to be a woman, Brother Hilton. You cannot decide to be an angel. You cannot, by taking thought, add 3 or 4 inches to your stature. And you cannot, by taking thought, do away or overcome the sinful nature that we are born with. And so then we are the prisoners, or we are captive to sin. But Christ came, who conquered sin, who conquered hell, death, and the results of sin is death. And he has conquered that. And so he led captivity captive when he ascended back on high. After he fulfilled the law and became subject to all the demands of the law and died to fulfill the justice of the law, then it has no more dominion over him. He is free from the demands of the law because he has satisfied every demand that the law demanded. He fulfilled it in thought, in word, in deed for 33 and a half years. He had no sin, he knew no sin, he did no sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And he pleased his heavenly Father in that he kept his holy and just law. and fulfilled it. And he said the reason he did it was that he might restore that which he took not away. That he might restore that which he took not away. And so then he took not away the innocence of Adam. Adam made that choice and plunged us into sin. And but Christ restored that, and we have not only received, we've not only just been restored back to the innocence of Adam, but we have received double at the Lord's hands. In other words, we've been restored now to the sons of God, whereby this spirit that is formed in us, this calling whereby we are called, cries, Abba Father. And we've been predestinated unto the adoptions of sons by Jesus Christ unto God. Therefore, the Apostle John says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. But he first he says, now are we called the sons of God. Now are we called the sons of God. In other words, that spirit that is within us is called the spirit of adoption, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. That spirit is a sealing spirit. It is adoption spirit, and it causes you to cry, Abba Father. It causes you to call on God, your heavenly Father. It calls on you to hope to be delivered from the sinful state that this body is in, because the spirit that's in you is not sinful, and you want to be delivered from this sinful body that you're in and be with your heavenly Father in glory, and get out of this sin-cursed world where there's devils and evil spirits and everything that's contrary to the love of God and to honesty and to decency and to peaceableness and to honesty and to joy and righteousness and peace and all of those things that's the fruit of the Spirit is what we would follow after and want to be in and about. And yet we're in this body. We have this body that's filled with strife and pride and everything that's opposite to the Spirit. And then we're in the world that's an enemy to God. And the Scripture says it's His enemy. And then there is the great enemy, the devil, and the wicked spirits that are His or with Him that go about, that hate God and hate His church and go about to defame everything that God has advocated. And so then we're in the world, but not of the world. We're here, but we're not at home. We're pilgrims and strangers. And in this world, there is a city of God that He is building. But it comes not with observation. And it is not just meat and drink. It is not something that we can handle with our hands. It's not something that you can paint. But it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom of God that's in the world. And we, by faith, embrace it and enjoy it. And it's in the immortal part of man. It's in the soul of man. It's in the spirit of man. And that's where the kingdom of God is. It's within you. It's within that part that God has formed in you that is above the sinful things of this world. It's above all the creatures of this world. God, man has made God in His own image. And therefore, He has a body and a soul and a spirit. And when Adam sinned, his body and his soul and his spirit became sinful. It became under the curse of the law. It became under condemnation. It became the very seat of darkness. The very seat of darkness. And here is a condemnation that light is coming to the world, but the darkness comprehended it not. And so the very soul of man has become the seat of darkness and misunderstanding and is the habitations of evil spirits and devils in this world. But God in His great mercy, not only has He sent His Son to atone for our sins and to redeem us from this sinful state, but He has sent the Holy Ghost to wash, from the washing of renewing, regeneration, to give us a new spirit, which is called a new man, and which is called the spirit of adoption, and whereby we are sealed until that great day when these bodies, to wit, shall be redeemed, just as our spirit and soul has already been redeemed. And so then, but until then, even so, Father, it seemeth good in thy sight. When it pleases him, he'll bring to pass what he's promised to do. And in the meantime, we're to possess our soul in patience, he says, and run the race in patience, and to looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and despising the things of this world and the sin and so forth, yet in patience possess our whole soul and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace, and to love one another, and to help one another, and to overlook one another for good, to fight the good fight, the faith, and to run the race with patience that is set before us, laying aside every sin that doth so easily beset us. We heard Brother Bryant this past week preaching such a wonderful message there. And he said, it's not necessarily the great sins of adultery and murder and this sort of thing that causes us the most trouble. It's the little sins, these sins that so easily beset us, that enters in and causes friction or causes coldness and that thing among the unity of the Spirit. You see, it's only since this is a spiritual kingdom and it's something that's in our spirit, in the soul of man, then it's by the Spirit that we fight the fight, faith, fight the good fight of faith. It's by the leading of the Spirit. That is, when our spirit is witnessing with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, and then we'll follow after the Spirit and fulfill not the lust of the flesh. And so that's the warfare and the fight. And that's why it's so important to know what the Scriptures teach. To have, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, the Scripture says. And the reason why is when the devil shoots his fiery darts at you, you'll have an answer. Every time the devil came to Christ, you know, in the wilderness and the temptation, he says, it is written. It is written. Every time the devil tempted him to do something, he said, it is written. And he had a guide to go by. The Word of God. It's a light unto our feet and a lamp in our pathway, David said. It's more precious than gold. That is, when you come to the crossroads and when the devil assails you and you've got something to fight him with. You've got the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and your feet are shod with the gospel of peace and you're like a soldier that's prepared to fight. But if you don't know the Word of God and have no idea what it says, you're vulnerable, you're defensible, and the devil it can get to you much more easily than he could otherwise. And so then, he said, one God is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. This baptism, that first calling up there is talking about being baptized into the body by the Holy Ghost in one hope of your calling. The apostle John the Baptist said that when he saw the Lord, said he baptized you with the Holy Ghost, he's the one that baptizes. He didn't say he will baptize. He said he baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He's been baptizing with the Holy Ghost ever since Adam sinned, he baptized Abel with the Holy Ghost. He baptized him into the body of Christ. By the Holy Ghost. When you are born again, you are baptized into the body of Christ. But then in the local church, there's one baptism, and that is water baptism. And it is submersion in water. Here you have another, men catering to men to accommodate people that don't want to be baptized in water. They'll come up with sprinkling and pouring water and all kinds of things just to accommodate people and to add to their congregation, baptize little babies that have no idea what's going on. Baptism is for believers. The three B's. First, there's the birth. You have to be born of the Spirit of God. And as a result of being born of the Spirit of God, you believe. The children of God do believe. It's a part of their nature. They believe in God. They know God. And they believe God. And so then, these are to be baptized. baptized in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Lord, our Lord and Master, said when he left here. Baptizing, go forth baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And to be baptized, the word baptism has been anglicized. The baptismo is a Greek word, and it never has actually been, if it had been actually translated into English, it would be immersed, or dipped, would be immersed. But they just anglicized that word and called it baptized because they tell me the King of England approved of that, the Church of England. But at any rate, the Lord knows what he's doing, and I think baptism is a good word. I think it sounds better than immersion, really, and we know what it means. It means to be buried in the water. If you've been buried with him in baptism, the Apostle Paul says, that says, if you've been buried with him in baptism. And so to be baptized is to be buried in the water. And if you're going to bury something, you don't sprinkle a little dirt on it. You bury it underneath the sod. And so there's just one baptism, and that baptism displays the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It also is a confession that you believe that your old man, that old sinful Adam man in you, was buried with Christ, that he represented you. And when he died, you died. That's what the Apostle Paul said. You are dead with Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God, and you are dead with him. And so then you died with Christ. And when he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. And so you are portraying that Christ died and rose again. And your hope is, the hope of your calling is, that your old natural man is dead with Christ. And you are rising in newness of life to follow him, to serve one another in his name, to take his name upon you. Just as a woman, when she marries a man, she takes his name. And when we join the church, we take the name of Christ. And we are making a profession of faith to be obedient to him, just as a husband, to serve him and to honor him and obey him and to share with him all of your worldly goods as long as you shall live. Until death do you part. And so then, when you join the church, beloved, that's what we're doing. We're saying, I want to follow the Lord. I want to follow Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me, who has adopted me into his family, whom God the Father has adopted me into his family by Jesus Christ, and that we are his husband. And he said to be our husband, and he said to be our maker, he said to be our surety as pertaining to the covenant. He said to be the messenger of the covenant. He said to be the mediator between God and men and the mediator of the new covenant. And he said in the church, he is our husband and our Lord and our King and our prophet and our priest and our King. And he's also said to be like an elder brother and a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have a Lord that can meet every situation we stand in need of. And he knoweth how to deliver us out of temptation. There's no temptation, he said, shall come above you, above that which you can stand. He knows how to deliver us out of temptation. And he puts us under trials. In his prayer it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Deliver us from temptation. And deliver us from temptation. He knows how to deliver us. There's going to be temptations as long as we're in this sinful body and in this world. And I'm way over time here. And so the Lord, so there's one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. And so they can say that God is over all. And I think God, in that sense, embraces all of the Godhead, and though he's referred to as God the Father, but we know that God is three persons in the Godhead. And so God has created everything by Jesus Christ, and God is upholding, God is over all and in all. I think that embraces day by day your providential, we're taken care of by him. He is over all and he is in all. It is by His power that we live and move and have our being, and that Christians, by believers, that is, that go by His name, how we get the victory over the world, how we overcome. And the way we do that is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, to be in, to keep this union. We have a union because we are members of one body, and we are to endeavor to keep the communication between these unions flowing smoothly without any isms and schisms and envy and strife and so forth, and to strive and to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. The apostle said, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy of the calling wherein you're called, the hope of your calling. Walk worthy of it. Surely Christ is worthy of our very best. May God add His blessings to His precious word and lead us on in the way everlasting. Lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And give us the victory over this sin-cursed world as things grow evil. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. May we wax better and better by the grace of God. I know we can't do it. We can't just decide that we're going to do all this on our own. It's only as we follow after the Spirit. And God in His great mercy gives us the leadership of that Spirit. His grace is sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient, and He'll see us through. He'll see us through. We publish the doors of the church open if there's one or more today that would publicly want to pronounce what they feel like the Savior has done for them. We'll give you that privilege while we assemble here together. What shall we sing, brethren? Number 102. The doors of the church are published open. Sing when you're ready.
Jesus, before thy face thy fall, my Lord, my life, my hope, my all, for I have nowhere else to flee, no and while I
to stay at equivalence as we possibly can. Fellowship with us.
You gonna take one?
Yeah. Then, fifth Sunday meeting, this month, first we go to my home church to have a fifth Sunday meeting just on Sunday. And we hope that many of you can choose to come down and spend the day with us down at Pine. Eastman Fellowship meeting is Saturday and Sunday of this fifth Sunday weekend. And there's one at Parkview Church, we've had one, and one down on the coast at Bethel. And I'm sure there's some up here that I don't know about. And I don't, we have some appointments next month. I'll wait for the second weekend, the last of July. Elder Sonny Piles is going to be around, and I'll announce him again. He's starting on the 23rd of July. I'm not going to see the points I got to do. Are any other announcements? Not valuable, so ask the Lord to dismiss us. Most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we humbly bow to thank thee, O Lord, for thy mercy and for thy grace and for all the benefits that thou bestowed upon us. We thank thee, dear Lord, for the kingdom of God. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for the bottom of the heart that we feel that thou has given us. And we thank thee for the church here at Reedsville. Pray, Lord, that thou will continue to bless her and add to her daily such as should be saved. Lord, as we take the part in hand, we pray that thou will go to each and every one of us through our several places of abode. Be our light in the darkness and our strength and weakness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.